In the spring of 2019, the Journalism and Social Responsibility class of Oak Grove High School in Ojai, California, created a podcast about Chinese-American relations.
I'm Rocky Guowei Yu. I'm a junior.
My main field of research is the trade conflict or the trade war between China and the U.S.
Hi, my name is Earl Marvin, and I'm a freshman. My main focus on this project was Chinese foreign investment into Africa and other nations, but mostly Africa.
My name is Nayeli Tirado, and I am in 10th grade. My main subject was finding out how the trade war and all these tariffs are affecting everyday people. For this podcast, we interviewed a lady from China.
So Mrs. Hume works for Chinese Central Television for over 30 years. She was the producer of the Science and Technology Channel, and she was the director of the field documentary.
Chinese parents like to talk with the children. If you don't study hard, maybe you are poor people in future. Maybe you are no sense. Maybe you are even you
know, won't amount to anything.
Hmm?
You won't be anything when you grow up.
Yes. Mm. Just like this language, this quite often happens in Chinese family. And if in beginning is they study energy and come from the fear, what happened in the whole society? What happened in the whole society, the phenomenon?
We interviewed a congressman, Dean Phillips, congressman of Minnesota, because he had both experience with the government and business.
He was elected for his opinions, so hearing his opinions firsthand was pretty cool.
What's very interesting to consider is that when the United States and Russia had the Cold War, the belief of Americans was that because the communist system was such an economic failure in Russia, that we knew at some point that the people would rebel, would say enough. And this is very different because the way that the Chinese governments have been managing the economy over the last number of years has shown that you can have great economic success while also maintaining a communist governance structure. And that's very different for Americans to consider because we've never seen that before. We've always equated communism with economic failure. And this is the first time where that's a little bit different.
When we had Russia as our main ally, enemy,
yeah.
During the Cold War, I mean, the space race saw us get to the moon, one of the greatest accomplishments in human history, right? So that competition gave us innovation. So do you think that's not valuable?
Oh, I think it's wonderfully valuable. In fact, I think it's what has fostered the great economic growth of China over the last number of years. Competition in every... Through my experience and through world history, competition usually, when it comes to economic competition, always results in positive benefits for people. There's no question. And that's important, and we should foster that. But the playing field has to be a fair one. And that's, I'll tell you, the other thing is the form of government and governance between the two countries is very interesting because it's a lot easier for China to make a decision and implement it and act on it immediately. Because basically one person can make a decision and does what he wants right now. In our country, the perpetual tug of wars between the three branches of government, the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. We don't have a system in which one person can make a decision and implement it immediately. We argue about it and we debate it, and often it takes years. And that puts us at a competitive disadvantage, which is something we're going to have to figure out over the years. But yes, competition is good.
All right, just to divert a little bit away from the trade war, do you see China as a potential threat to American hegemony or a possible ally in our goal of just progressing?
Oh, so, you know what, I'm really glad you asked that question. There are a lot of people here in Congress who now consider Russia and China our biggest enemies, which concerns me. Russia, I do believe, is trying to really disrupt us intentionally. I think that's part of their strategy. I don't think that is the same. I don't think the same should be said about China. I believe that we can be wonderful international partners, but we have to have some conversation, Earl, about values. In terms of governance, China has every right to do what they want, but it doesn't mean that it's congruent with some of our values. So I think over time, I do believe we will be able to establish, I think, those a better relationship. But as you probably all know, that an economic relationship tends to be the foundation from which other exchange and other collaboration can occur. And that's why this trade battle is so important to resolve and get behind us, because from that we can start, I think, doing a lot more together. And if we don't work together on things like climate change, illegal trafficking of both people and contraband, technology and how to regulate it appropriately on a worldwide basis. You know, these are going to be big issues, especially for your generation.
While Congressman Phillips readily answered our questions, Mrs. Hong Mei was more reticent.
Has this censorship or restrictions, has it ever affected your work?
他的意思是说，他的意思是指中国的，就是言论自由管制对你的工作受到什么影响？嗯，就是I think this topic I understand what you say, but it's a sensitive thing. I think I'm not convenient to say many detail about it.
At a certain point in our interview, Mrs. Hong Mei got up and drew two shapes on the whiteboard, a triangle and a square. She explained that it is impossible to understand each other if we come from such different conditioning. Square logic is different from that of a triangle, and these two vastly distinct forms of conditioning become the source of our misunderstandings.
A lot of people, especially in California, people think, President Donald Trump is very unpredictable and his trade war is, not doing any good for both sides. But I think, in a long term, it might be benefit to the Chinese people. Because I think, the copycat culture in China, is quite, popular, been hundreds of years. And, one of, Donald Trump's sanction toward China, it's to ask China to protect the U.S. Intellectual property. And I think this by the sanctions, this, the whole act can motivate the Chinese people to innovate their own product.
So what I'm trying to discover more how it impacts everyday people, how is this affecting smaller or larger businesses more?
That's a really good question. It affects all kinds of businesses, large and small, in all kinds of different industries. And I hear from a lot of them literally every single day that are very, very concerned about how the tariffs are affecting them. And it affects a lot of lives. That's the problem. That's why nobody really wins a trade war, because it affects way too many people than could ever recover from the long-term outcomes. I think large companies are better able and better structured to withstand a trade war and tariffs, because they often have facilities in other countries anyway. They have more economic strength to weather some challenges. They also have more pricing power, meaning they have the ability to raise prices.
What got me interested in the subject was a few YouTube videos that I watched a couple months ago about how China was investing in nations all over the world to just gain influence and invest and become a world power. They have this very interesting strategy of investing in countries like billion-dollar projects and giving them billions of dollars that they know they won't get back. But now these countries, so in debt to China, owe so much to them that they're effectively puppet states.
You take a dollar away from diplomacy, that means you're going to have to buy $3 more worth of bullets, is one of the old sayings. And I believe in that. We should be investing in diplomacy, we should be investing in relationships, we should be working with our allies, including China. I don't consider China an enemy, I consider them a competitor. And we should be investing thoughtfully in those relationships and managing them much more effectively than I think we are right now. And it scares me because we can't be isolationists in the 21st century. We're connected. You know, no matter how you look at it, we are connected somehow, some way, digitally or otherwise. And not to mention the challenges that the country here is facing and the challenges that the world is facing, like climate change. You know, we can ill afford to be isolationists at a time when the world needs our leadership. And I'd like to think that China and the United States can be thoughtful and principled co-leaders, if you will, superpowers in the world, to do good.
A big thank you to Earl Marvin, Rocky Yu, and Nayeli Tirado for their research and hard work, our interviewees, Congressman Dean Phillips and Mrs. Hong Mei, as well as Bernie Larson for the sound editing. We are the 2018-2019 Journalism and Social Responsibility class of Oak Grove High School in Ojai, California.